stranger to us. We support Jonathan along with his family. Jonathan does not work for EMM. Jonathan is a missionary. Now, you might say, well, because he's here in the States, you might think, well, he's probably on the staff for EMM. No, he's a missionary, but he lives stateside. We're going to see more of that in the future, I think. So Jonathan travels abroad sometimes, but he is based here. He is part of Eastern Mennonite Mission's Christian-Muslim relations team. And so in that role, Jonathan serves as a trainer and a consultant, and really to help people around the world, including us, to know what do we make of everything in the news these days about Muslims? How do we relate to them? Our natural tendency is to be scared of them, I think, and to be frightened. And the media loves to hang Muslim. Well, forget the media. They don't give us a straight picture. But we've been sort of indoctrinated that Muslims are people that we are to fear and hate. Muslims are potential sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so Jonathan is sort of dedicating his life to that. We're delighted to have him here this morning. I don't know if you're going to say anything about the fact that Jonathan is considering some additional education for a PhD, because we want our best and brightest and the most gifts to be working at this kind of thing. You'll find something in your mailbox or newsletter. There's a form in the back. You can take a look at that. But Jonathan, we're delighted to have you here. Let me pray for you. Thank you, God, that you call people to go and make disciples in such a whole host of different ways. And for some of us, it's the house next door or the co-laborer at work. For some people, it's to pick up and go to another place. And for some, like Jonathan, it's to kind of bridge two worlds and bring them together, hopefully, for the purposes of advancing your kingdom. So bless Jonathan. Speak to him. Thank you for his presence here with us this morning. In your name, we pray. Amen. I should say yet, Jonathan and his wife Carol have three children, a daughter who is currently serving in Zambia, and a son who just finished his first year at Messiah College, and another son who is married and lives out in Chicago. And I know the family well because they attend Mount Joy, where I used to pastor.
All right. Wow. Great introduction. Thank you, Joe. The title of my message is Salvation for the Rejected. I had no idea what your Sunday school hour was going to be about, but I thought that was no coincidence of the Lord. Powerful word during Sunday school. Wow. I was deeply affected by what was shared in Sunday school, because I too have family members who have rejected the church because of they themselves being rejected and hurt. So it was a powerful message in Sunday school. We're going to look at a story that's more than 4,000 years old, another rejection story. Before we get there, though, let me tell you why I picked this story, why I think it's so important. What's today, the 15th? On the 15th, I was invited to go to break the fast with the Muslim community in Lancaster. At the Farm and Home Center, they had put on this beautiful meal, very simple program, and some leaders in the Muslim community, most of them doctors at Lancaster General Hospital, said, our community is under so much stress right now, we're going to throw a party and we're going to invite our friends who are not Muslim, because we really need friends right now. This is Ramadan is the Muslim month of fasting, where I think we're today's day 20 of their fast. I went to this event. I didn't know who I should expect to see there. And at my table was a fire chief from Lancaster City. There was a couple where she was from Catholic background and her husband's a Muslim. There was another family there, I think, non-religious, and a couple Muslim families at my table. They did the little program, then there was a break before the meal to mill around and talk to people. I discovered there were more than a dozen people from a variety of different Anabaptist traditions that were invited to that meal. And there was only, 150 people total. So I thought, wow, Anabaptists got a pretty good invitation here. And they must be out there touching their friends in the community, the Muslim community. At my table, I sat and talked with one Muslim couple intently. And they told me their own children have received threats on the street in front of their house. Taunts from other kids who said, yeah, you're ISIS. And someone else told me a similar story. And one of the other men at my table told me, yeah, we just feel really threatened. So these are, I'm giving you the perspective of the North American Muslim community that you all, know it or not, these are your neighbors, your colleagues at work. Muslims do not believe the salvation message of Jesus. That's quite clear. But they do think very highly of Abraham. In fact, they would say we trace our spiritual heritage through the son of Abraham, his firstborn son, Ishmael. And we in the Christian tradition, we mention Ishmael, and then we mostly talk about Isaac, right? Today, I'm going to try to give you the best I could possibly give you about the life story of Ishmael. And as I've been studying this over the last few months, my own heart is being transformed by this story. If you want to follow along with me, you can do that in chapters 11 through 21. I'm going to draw very freely from that. I'm also going to do this in a different way today. So if you bear with me. Call me Ishmael. You know my dad, Abram. He is really famous in history, and people from every kind of background talk regularly about my father and my mother, my stepmother, my brother. Take the first slide. My dad, along with his father and his parents and some of their other relatives, they were part of this next one, the map one. Oh, I hope. Hang on. Let's just go out of character for a minute. That picture, you've got to know about that picture. Sorry. I got a trap. This is totally not the way I wanted to do this, but. Doesn't matter at all. I went to Kenya last month with David Schenck. We had a few minutes sitting waiting for a taxi in front of a tea shop. This Somali refugee guy sat down in front beside me, and I thought, I've got 3 minutes with this guy. What are we going to talk about? So I said, he had just told me I'm a refugee. I've been here 6 months in East Lee. I said, I'm a man of prayer. Would there be anything I could pray for you about? Without missing a beat, he says, I really want to go to paradise. Ask God that I could go to paradise. Is that what you thought someone who just is a refugee without a home would ask you? I said, I know the way to paradise. I'm a follower of Jesus. Jesus makes the way to paradise really clear and simple. And then that was the end of the conversation. That was the window of opportunity. Somebody else came, budged into the conversation. We talked about something else. I got in a taxi and left. But this young man wants to go to paradise. I do too. And I know the way. That's why I'm so excited about your memory verse this morning. Right? Go into all the world and make disciples. All right, now we're ready for the map slide. And now I'm back in my robe as Ishmael. My grandparents, my parents, they were part of this migration. They were living over in Ur of the Chaldeans, what you call today Iraq. They somehow, God called them, and they started traveling across what's now called the Fertile Crescent. They traveled up the Euphrates River, and they got stuck in Haran, and they stayed there. They settled there. And then, I don't know how it happened exactly, but my dad, Abraham, he heard God call him and say, go from your country and from your people and go to a land that I will show you and I'll bless you and I'll make you a blessing. So my dad and his wife, Sarah, they traveled. They just went. And they arrived in the land of Canaan. And my dad and his wife had a real problem. God spoke to him multiple times, I'm going to make you into a great nation. You're going to have many descendants. So many you won't be able even to count them. And yet, Sarah was barren. They didn't have any children. When my dad was 86 years old, Sarah came to him and said, you know, it's just not going to work out for us, but I have this servant named Hagar. Why don't you take her? You can have children with her. And so Abram took my mother Hagar for his wife. And very quickly, my mom was pregnant. And she began walking around the house with a smile, and sometimes she just pushed out her belly a little bit. She was so happy. And probably showing off. Because Sarah became so angry with her. She began to mistreat her. She mistreated her so badly that my mother fled. She ran away. She ran away from her husband, my father, Abraham. She ran into the desert. She went. And she threw herself down near a spring in the desert. I don't know all the details, but Mom says that an angel of the Lord came to her and spoke to her and said, Hagar, what are you doing here? Go back to your mistress and submit to her. I will make your descendants, Hagar, more numerous, so numerous that you'll never be able to count them. And the angel had a prophecy for her about me. And this is a place where you as modern-day Christians probably don't understand at all what it says in your Bible in chapter 16. It says, the angel told my mother, you're to name your son Ishmael. Ishmael means God hears. He's going to be a wild donkey of a man. His hand's going to be against everyone and everyone's hand against him. And he will live to the east of all his brothers. Now, I know you're all looking at your Bibles right now and you see that it says he'll live in hostility. But if you have a normal average Bible, there's a tiny note down that says, look at the bottom of the page. This says it could also be translated live to the east of. So let me tell you a little bit about See, when I grew up as a boy, I ended up living out in the desert. I know about the desert. Next slide. When it says wild donkey, had this problem in Sunday school, that's all right. When it says wild donkey, it's talking about a creature called the onager. The onager is not the domesticated form of donkeys. The onager is a wild creature that's never been domesticated in history. It's independent. This is a sleepy looking one from the zoo, by the way. It's an independent, one of the fastest running wild creatures. It can live for long periods of time without water. It lives in desert wastelands. It's very strong and independent and cannot be tamed. And we'll take the next slide. When it says in the story here that I would live to the east of all my brothers, it's talking about all of Arabia. So you see the Jordan River in the map. All the Canaanite, all the Israelite tribes, almost all of them, lived on the west side of the river. And it's prophesying that me and my descendants would live in the east side, in the desert. So my understanding as the person that this prophecy is about is that God was telling my mother, your son is going to become a tremendous, powerful, independent-minded leader. He's going to have 12 sons, and they're all going to become rulers. And it's true. Independent, strong-minded guys like me have a lot of conflict. But that's the way God made me. I am Ishmael. Well, when my father was 99 and I was 13, the angel of the Lord visited my father again. And God called him to make a new covenant. God spoke to my father again and said, Abraham, a son coming out of your own body through your wife Sarah is going to become a great nation. And my dad, I love this part of the story. My dad said, oh God, if only Ishmael could live under your blessing. And the Lord said to Abraham, my father says, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son. You'll call him Isaac, and I'm going to establish my covenant with Isaac and his descendants. And as for Ishmael, it says, I have heard you. My dad said, God, would you just bless Ishmael? God says, and as for Ishmael, I've heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful. I will greatly increase his numbers. And he will become the father of 12 rulers. And on that same day, Abraham took all the servants, all the male servants, and Abraham, my father, and I, his son, and all the servants, we were all circumcised on the same day. We all entered into God's covenant of circumcision together. And less than a year later, Sarah was pregnant. Now we're in chapter 21 for those who want to know. Sarah was pregnant. She gave birth to my brother, my half-brother Isaac. And he grew up, and on the day that Isaac was weaned, my father threw a tremendous party. And for some reason, he didn't throw a party like that for me. And I saw little Isaac there, and everything, the whole party was about him, so I made fun of him. And his mom, Sarah, saw it, and she became furious again. She remembered the rage when I was born that she felt. And she said to my dad, "Get rid of the slave woman. And don't ever let him share in the inheritance with my son." My father was probably distressed about that, but for whatever reason, he listened to her. The scripture says God gave him assurance that I would be taken care of. I know that now, but I didn't know it then. And my dad gave me a backpack and a water bottle, and he said to my mom and I, "Get out of here, leave." And we walked off away from that party and into the desert. We got lost. We became weak. Our water was gone. And so my mom found a shady spot and pushed me under the shade of some bushes, and she couldn't bear to watch me die, so she went as far away as you could shoot an arrow with a bow. And she's crying. And an angel of God comes and speaks to her again and says, "Sarah, take up your son, look. Look, right here is a well of water. You didn't see it, Sarah. Open your," and the angel opened my mother's eyes and showed her that there was a well of water right here where we were dying. My mom came and lifted me up and gave me a drink of water. And God was with me. We lived in the desert of Paran. I became an archer. My mother went down to Egypt to her relatives and family and found a wife for me and brought her to me. I stayed in contact with my other family too. When my father, Abraham, died, it was Isaac and I together who carried his body in and laid it in the tomb and did the funeral together. You ever heard that story before? Every year when Muslims take the pilgrimage to Mecca, there's a whole series of activities they do commemorating different important parts in Islamic history. One of the most painful ones for me to think about is they go to a field called Arafat, I think that's the right name, and they run back and forth. I don't remember how many times. They run back and forth, and they look for something. They're commemorating the fact that Ishmael and Hagar were lost in the desert and didn't have anything to drink. Now, is this troubling to you? I look at that and I say, they're reenacting rejection. They were rejected. They were thrown away. Now, God came through, in fact, in a big way. All the sons of Ishmael, their names are in the Genesis. And if you read in the book of Isaiah, there's a number of prophecies that say Kedar will return when the Messiah comes. Kedar is one of the sons, the second-born son of Ishmael. There's a number of prophecies in the book of Isaiah that talk about the descendants of Ishmael being restored. I don't know how and when exactly, but I think, I'm pretty sure, it's one of the jobs the church has, to go out and share the love of Jesus with Muslim people. There's a prophecy that some of those sons of Ishmael are going to come back. Other thing I want to do is just speak directly to you. Do you feel rejected? Have you ever felt rejected? Boy, I can remember when I was in junior high school. The amount of rejection I felt was so overwhelming and painful. High school, mostly the same story. I didn't feel understood at my church or my school. And yet there's a moment when I was visiting a strange church where I had never been before, when somebody during the worship service came up behind me, an old woman came up behind me and said, "Jonathan," she didn't say my name, she said, "Young man, God sees the confusion and hurt in your life. He understands how you feel lost, and he loves you. He's got great plans. He's going to make you a leader of his people." This is a strange woman who's never seen me before, walks up behind me during the praise and worship and whispers that in my ear. It's just like, in my mind, it's just like when God spoke to Hagar and said, "Hagar, open your eyes. I've got a well of water right here. Your son is not going to die. Everything's going to work out." I think that's the message God would like to speak to every heart today. There is a well of salvation. It's open. God loves you. He cares for you. He's going to bring restoration and healing and salvation to you. Whatever your rejection, whatever your pain, there is a well of salvation that's open and free. It's always available. If I was going to write a name on that well, I would write the name of Jesus. The world is full of hungry people, like the young man I met in front of the waiting for my taxi in Nairobi. I just would like someone to pray for me so I could go to paradise. And, you know, I was a boy who grew up in church, and I felt rejected. There's reasons why. And I was needy too. And somebody spoke a word in my ear that turned my life around. I would definitely not be here today if she had not been obedient to the Holy Spirit that prompted her to come and whisper in my ear. And I praise God for her. How might you respond to this message? If you feel the Holy Spirit touching something in you through this, I would encourage you to talk to a friend who's sitting with you, or talk to your youth pastor, or your mom and dad, or I'm sure you can talk to your pastor Joe. Talk to somebody, because I'm sure God is touching some hearts today, and the best way I think you could respond would be to talk to somebody about it and ask for them to pray with you. And I would like to end my time with prayer. Father God, thank you that you continually pour out salvation. You offered salvation to Ishmael and Hagar when they were lost in the desert. You offered it to me when I was lost. Today I know you're offering it to others. I ask you to pour out in abundance your blessing on each one who responds. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.